Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 57, and today is Tuesday, June 19th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. So a couple things I'm going to talk about today, but first, just a moment of solidarity for all you people out there who are independents, who work out of your house, out of your own homes. This morning our nanny's out of town for various things, and so I was helping out my wife, and as part of what I did today was I was trying to do some work while my two children were around, and then one of them left, and I was, you know, watching our youngest daughter, and it was an interesting reminder for me of just how hard that is to get anything done when you have young, I imagine it gets easier as you have older children, but especially young children at home. There's just, it is so hard to stay focused because you're oscillating between guilt about work and guilt about your home life. And so I discussed this at depth back in episode 29, working in an office. So I'll link to that in the show notes if you're curious for a more detailed explanation of why I rent office space just down the road from my house, just so I can sort of go to the office, do my job, and then come home and be engaged with my family. But moment of solidarity was an experience this morning that I wouldn't say I'd forgotten how difficult it was, but it was interesting to kind of experience that again after a couple of years of working out of an office. It's tough, and if you're one of the people who can do it, that, you know, more power to you. That's very impressive. Anyway, so the main topic I was going to talk about today is the current lineup of computers and what that means for developers, I suppose. So, as I've moaned about on this show a couple times, they really didn't give us a Mac Pro update that we were hoping for. The Mac Pro got a very minor bump, but in reality, nothing really too impressive. They just essentially Intel discontinued the old chips, so Apple had to, you know, sort of reshuffle the setup a little bit. But they really didn't do much in terms of making the making the computer any better. It still doesn't have Thunderbolt. It's still, and if you look on the back, it's kind of crazy. You see it, like, it has the old DVI slot still, you know, for plugging in a DVI port, even though Apple doesn't sell any displays with DVI. They're all mini display port. It has all these other crazy faith features, and you look and you're like, really? And then you remember, yeah, it hasn't really been updated in 2 years. And it's kind of strange that it hasn't. And you kind of wonder what's going on and why Apple wouldn't update it, even if not necessarily the major update we were all hoping for. Even kind of like, if you're going to change anything, if you're going to have to do some minor adjustments, why not just actually update it and make it a slight, you know, do some of these basic things like giving it Thunderbolt or all, you know, things that if you really are using it for pro applications, that would make it a lot better. But they didn't, so we're kind of stuck with what we have. And I was kind of looking at this, and there's an article I posted on my site about just looking at the laptop lineup, which is interesting. And I think from that sort of analysis, what I really end up with is the MacBook Air, the top-of-the-line 11, is an absolutely amazing machine in terms of cost for performance, cost per pound, just the whole thing. It's a very solid machine. And if you're looking for a laptop that, you know, if it's whose role is primarily just for being, you know, portability, for going from place to place, for travel, it's an amazing machine, and I highly recommend looking at that machine. I have an older version of the 11-inch Air, and it's just incredible. I mean, my wife loves it because, you know, it's the first and only machine she's ever or computer she's ever had that she can take to work in her purse. You know, she doesn't need a laptop bag. She just literally takes the Air, slots it in her purse, and off she goes. And it's not heavy, so you don't really notice it, and it's not particularly large. I mean, it's no larger than it's probably smaller than even a lot of like a pad folio that you'd take to work. And so it's kind of crazy to have that much power in that size. Battery life isn't as good as you'd like, and that's just something that I think is, yeah, that's the trade-off you're making for having a device just that small. Battery life for me it's sort of important. There's very few circumstances where I find it really matters. Maybe that's just the way that I work, where I go, what I'm doing. But I usually have access to some kind of power, some kind of power at some point in the day where I can, you know, quickly recharge and go from there. I mean, a classic arrangement too is to have, you know, say you're going back and forth to an office, you know, you just get buy an extra power adapter, have one in each place. So it's not like you have to carry the power brick with you everywhere you go. And if you're the kind of person who's, I guess, on airplanes a lot, or, you know, is constantly going to coffee shops to work or things, maybe that's not the best computer. But otherwise, definitely a very solid computer, especially as a secondary computer. I think it's by far the best secondary computer around. And I think there's a lot of people who like the 13. And I think I saw some stats that it's probably actually more popular. And I can see that. The thing about, for me, though, with the 13-inch Air is if you're going to get an Air, it feels like you want it to be as small as possible. The goal is size rather than necessarily, you know, sort of balance or, you know, combining a variety of different metrics. And so for me, the 13 seems a bit awkward. You may as well get a MacBook Pro at that point, because the size and weight aren't as small, but you're limited in a lot of different ways versus a Pro. But then really, you start to get into the sort of the real crux of what I'm going to talk about is a developer's machine. And this is, you know, sort of a machine that you're going to be imagining as your workhorse, your battle-hardened development machine that you're running Xcode, Photoshop, you know, Mail, Safari, a Twitter client maybe, and you're just, you know, cranking on it all day long. It's which machine makes best for that context. And for me right now, I'm running a 27-inch iMac that was the top of the line about 2.5 years ago. It's got an i7, Geekbench is, I think, about 10,000. It's a pretty solid machine. I don't think I'd get another iMac, primarily just for extendability reasons. It's been very frustrating that I can't, you know, I can't change the hard drive inside. I can't do really anything to it without going to an Apple store. So the iMacs are nice. I imagine they're going to have an Ivy Bridge version soon. My guess would be sometime this fall. And they're just focusing right now on giving all the processors they can to the MacBook Pro lineup. So that's why there hasn't been a refresh on the iMac. But at some point soon, there'll probably be a refresh to it, unless it's bundled in with Tim Cook's strange, you know, sometime later next year, there'll be something awesome for pros. So that's kind of, you know, out. The Mac Mini is an interesting machine, mostly just because of its price. It's a really inexpensive machine for quite a lot of performance. You know, you can get quite a lot done for, you know, this between $600 and $1,000 that you can get it for. It's quite, you know, you're getting quite a lot of performance out of that, but it's, and you know, you have some extendability with it, but I find myself struggling just because it tops out at a performance that's probably going to be frustrating for a lot of developers. So I can't really recommend it unless it was kind of like a holdover machine just to wait out this weird, awkward phase. And so then you kind of end up looking, I think, at the two main candidates for what you're going for working on. And so you can get either one of the new Retina MacBook Pros, or you can get a Mac Pro. And the Mac Pro is, you know, it's 2 years old, but it's still a pretty impressive machine in the sense that, you know, it still gets fairly impressive Geekbench scores and compilation times. It's very extendable. You know, you can put in 4 hard drives and you can put in more RAM than you could shake a stick at. I mean, it's, you can do a lot with that machine. But it is kind of weird because it's priced really high for what you get. And so just kind of, I sat down and did the math. And so I'm going to be comparing it to the 15-inch MacBook Pro. And if you're going to get a 15-inch MacBook Pro, as a developer, I think it's worth the extra, I guess, $450 to upgrade it fully. And so you get the 2.7 gigahertz, you know, quad-core i7, which is a $250 upgrade, and then max out the RAM at 16 gigs. Flash storage, it's a $500 upgrade to just get the extra, to go from 512 to 768, which I think is kind of that's probably not worth it. That $500, you could get a pretty beefy external Thunderbolt hard drive for that, for a lot more storage, which would probably end up serving you better in the long run. 512 is probably good enough for most sort of use of a computer in terms of you may not necessarily want to store your, you know, photo archives or video archives on there, but as a working, you know, sort of as a working drive, that should be large enough. And so you add all those together and you get a cost of $3,250, basically. And That's a very impressive machine. It's got this crazy Retina display, very, very fast processor, 16 gigs of RAM, pretty large hard drive that is, you know, SSD on motherboard, amazing. You know, it has some downsides. It's not at all upgradable. You can't do anything with it, which is certainly a downer. But, you know, it's pretty solid at that price. So then I was curious to say, you know, what Mac Pro could you get for kind of an equivalent amount of performance and money? And it seems like the closest you get is if you start with the 6-core Mac Pro, which gets roughly comparable performance. It's slightly higher performance if you look at benchmarks, but primarily I think that is an extra core advantage because it has 6 rather than 4 cores, rather than necessarily a speed improvement that you would necessarily see. It's like it has a 15%-ish higher Geekbench, but in reality, I don't think you'd be able to really feel that 15% unless you're ripping DVDs or things. But often I think the disk I/O performance that you need will be the bigger difference there. And so what I did is I took that one, which has a base price of $3,000. Upgrade, if you want to upgrade its RAM to 16 gigs, it'll cost you another $100. And then if you wanted to put in a comparably sized SSD, it'd be another $600, which is puts its price at about $500 over what the MacBook Pro would cost. If you put in a smaller SSD, you can go up to about, I think, 120 gigabyte SSD and keep and the prices would match up almost exactly. And I'm looking at solid-state storage from Mac, Otherworld Computing, MacSales.com. They're the best place to go. So I was kind of looking at that. So you end up with, so you can have a small SSD and everything else be the same, or a bigger SSD and $500 more. You end up with two machines that are fairly comparable in terms of day-to-day performance. Your actual, what you would experience in your day-to-day life in actually using these machines would probably be very similar between them in terms of performance and capability. The Mac Pro obviously has the advantage of larger internal drives, which is nice, I suppose. But the MacBook Pro, of course, is also coming with a Retina display and is very, you know, is actually portable. And so you end up with this kind of this strange thing where the Mac Pro is great, but only really if you're bringing along a bunch of things with you. If you really have a nice big display, if you really never need to work away from your computer and you have an SSD already, then it's probably a better buy. The interesting thing is the money between them is fairly similar. A lot of times, traditionally, a Mac Pro has better resale value, but I'm not so sure if this particular Rev will have the same resale. And I'm just kind of skeptical about that just because it's such this weird middle ground, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of the same Mac Pros kicking around in a way that if it's not like it's a new update or something special about it. You know, it's the same computer as essentially they've been selling for 2 or 3 years. And so I feel like that's sort of, there's going to be somewhat more inventory, which doesn't help with resale. But, you know, resale is also kind of a weird thing. So buying something with the expectation of selling computers, in my experience, is a huge nightmare and hassle. So I'd rather avoid it. And so when I kind of weigh those things together, that for roughly this, you know, it's like for the same money ish, you can get sort of the same machine in a MacBook Pro and a Mac Pro, very similar performance. You know, there's a few tweaks, like, okay, the MacBook Pro, you'll have to have a, you know, adapter for Ethernet if you want to, if you want to plug into Ethernet and those kinds of things. And there's certainly downers. I think for me, the bottom line, I'd rather go with a MacBook Pro. And I've gone back and forth on this a lot, played with it. You know, I'm not sure if I'll actually get one. But I think if I was making the choice today, if I really decided, you know, I wanted to retire my 27-inch iMac, that's, I think, what I would do. I feel like you're getting more machine and you're getting more future-proofing into that machine than you do in a Mac Pro. But, you know, that's just kind of where I am right now. But I think the reality is that I'm going to be waiting until later next year and getting into whatever the new professional solution is from Apple, which, you know, who knows what that is. My current 27-inch has been working pretty well for me, and if I had problems with it, like I said, I'd probably just get a MacBook Pro and then at some point potentially transition that to being my secondary computer. All right, that's it for today's show. Hopefully it's interesting. I'd really like to hear feedback on this one because so much of it's about personal preference, and so if you have thoughts, feedback, the best place is to reply to me on Twitter. I'm _DavidSmith there. The Twitter feed for this podcast is Dev Perspective. And otherwise, I hope you have a good week. Happy coding, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.